Good morning, everyone. So those that don't know me, the reason why preachers introduce themselves is often they're so focused on what they're saying that we forget our own names. So my name's Andre. I've been married to Esna in March of this year. It'll be 42 years that I've been married. And she looks just as beautiful as the day that I met her. Also want to say to Tiens, bud, well done. For those that don't understand, he was literally half the man that he is now. And last year, October, we went on holiday and I went to say goodbye to Tiens just because he's a friend, just go say bye. And I got in the car and I said to Tiens, I don't think I'm going to see this man again. And he's a miracle walking here. And twice we've been there. And twice God's brought him back for us, for friendship and for what God's got to do for him. Never give up. Never give up. Okay, so we serve as elders in Josh Chen, Durbanville, AM. And it's always a privilege for us to go out and serve other churches. And I want to say something to Hinder and Miriam. You know, we get older and we tend to think pension, we tend to think scale down. And I need to start my timer so I know how long I've been talking. But when I heard they got up and say, we'll lead this, I realized, never give up. Somebody once said, if you want to catch me in the race to get my baton, you best be able to run faster than I do. And if you guys want to outpace him, you're going to have to pick up your pace. It's all that Ek Violette said, and I can sit down after this. Okay, so I want to jump in straight into what I want to start off with. You can put up the first slide for me. Is I want to ask, what do you see? And I want to encourage you to look further this morning. And as part of the verse of Scripture that said God's got a table set before you, and the problem is we often don't eat of it because all we see is somebody's table. That's like at cookies. I was looking at the cookies just now and I thought, probably that's for afterwards. And then I saw, he saw enough to have one of it, look, and cookies yet. Because they understood that cookie is for us. I can start eating from what is set on the table before me. In Scripture, in Ezekiel, I've seen that God often asks the question from people, what do you see? And in Scripture, in the second slide, God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, can these bones live? You can put me up that slide. Yeah, thanks. Can these bones live? And I know it's a bit of a gory slide to see all these skulls and so forth. But Ezekiel is that beautiful thing where when you read further, and Ezekiel's answer actually was to see further. Because when I look at that, I think, oh, that's a demarcation of which skull belongs to which kneecap. It's a big fan of demarcation. And yet the Bible says that when God said these things must start living, there was a rattling of bones. I just can hear that happening. The rattling of bones, and the correct bone connected with the correct other bone. And when the army stood up, it wasn't my leg connected to, was Martin? I can't tell you name, Martin. It wasn't half Andre and half Martin standing. It was Martin standing, and Andre standing, and Thomas standing. I remembered one or two other names. I'm doing good. God knows you intimately. Even which bone of yours fit to which bone. He didn't just lump bones together. And the Bible says, a mighty army stood up. However, our response is almost always limited to what I see. Corinthians 2, verse 5 to 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The problem is, I think we walk by sight, and then we decide, will it work if I trust God? When we march around Jericho, will these walls fall? And I often tell people, if I was there, my response would be, julle mense kan om die muur gaan loop, I'm going to watch the donkeys. Because that ain't going to happen. And yet God said, it'll happen because I lived by sight and not by faith. I was right. I lived by sight. I saw the wall and I didn't gaan fall nie. Because it doesn't make sense. I'm a logical being. It doesn't make sense. But when we start living by faith, if God says that wall will fall, it'll fall. In preparation this morning, and I was quite encouraged about what just happened, God showed me that a picture of a man or person standing outside the building, looking into the building as others were packing chairs, with a heart that said, I wish I could be part of that. And I felt that there's a person, or at least one person here, that always feels, I'm an outsider looking in. And I feel God saying, it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to realize it's not what you think about who you are. It's about what God says you are. If God calls you a son and a daughter, it's about you being part of the family. And I want you to start understanding that God's called every one of us to be part of the family. And I want to ask you, stop looking in and being part. Because you can't stand outside the building and decide how the chairs must be packed inside the building. Come be part. Come take the decisions. Part of the building. I believe God's speaking to somebody specifically as I say that. And I want to talk this morning, and there was a couple of Davids here. I think I met two. Vasi Davids. Hands up. Where were the Davids? Somebody else. There's a David there, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Daniel. Okay, close enough. But I looked at that, and there's a dude there at the back. Also David. Hiding there at the back. And David, in chapter 16 of Samuel, we read that David was the guy that was overlooked by his own father when Samuel said, I'm coming to have a party, a festival, an offering, and I want you, Jesse, to come and bring your sons. And he brings the sons, all seven of them, but the eighth one, he's not good enough. The others had time to shave, aftershave, wash, mooi kleertjies strijk, aantrek, and be part of the party. But God says, I'm not interested in those ones. That's the one that you overlooked. In 1 Samuel 17, David is sent by Jesse to go and have a look. Israel's at war with Philistines. Donkey. And the Philistines, he gets to the war. He had to go and look at how his brothers are doing. He gets to the war, and the Philistines are standing on the one side of the camp, of the valley, in the promised land. These Philistines, the oppressors, are in the land that God had promised them. And they are opposing them, and they've come to make war with them. And then David goes to speak, and then his brother looks at him and he belittles him in front of everybody. He says to him, wat maak jy hier? Die paar skapies, you're not good enough to be with the manne. See, David understood what it was to be overlooked and underestimated, but he didn't allow what he saw to be, he didn't look through the glasses of being underestimated, not good enough, my dad wound, my this, my that. Didn't allow that to define him. When he got there, he saw the army. He saw this Goliath, and you can put on the next slide for me, please. He saw Goliath coming up there. And if I have to be honest, if that dude comes my way, I go that way. is 'n bietjie bang wanneer dit kom by sulke goede, maybe. We'll see one day, but up to now. And Goliath comes and he shouts from the other side and he insults and he cries out against them, because what Goliath wants to do, he wants to intimidate. He wants to shout to everybody to know that I'm here, you need to be scared of me. And the next slide, just to give a perspective, Goliath, according to the Bible, is just shy of 3 meters. The average soldier is 1.72, so it's about double the height of me. So if I, ek gee nie om wat se professor jy is en what karate you're doing, if I stand and I'm double your height, I'm going to reach you before you come close. And I'm going to put you down because I'm a giant. And so there was a reason for him to feel overwhelmed. But he didn't look at that. What he saw was the Philistines occupying my land, my territory, my inheritance. Goliath shouting insults to the army for the past 40 days. And he saw the Israel army. These are the people that are supposed to protect me, to protect our land, to make sure that we're safe. When they saw the giant coming, they all scattered and ran for the tents because they felt safe to be in the tent. And that's how a giant works. You see, the giant is never docile. There's no such thing as a gentle giant. A giant comes fully armored, kitted, because he's scared. He comes with iron all over because he's scared you're going to rise up and take him down. But as long as he can intimidate me, that thought will never cross my mind. My only thought is escape. I want to ask you the question, what's your giant this morning? What's going to stop you from feasting from the table this morning? Maybe it's your finances. That's your giant. Perhaps your health. Maybe hurt and rejection. Maybe all of them are the giant in your life. And you see, every giant, when he attacks, the first thing that he does, he goes to tell you, you are not enough. You don't have what it takes to put me down, so stop trying. He comes and he bullies. Tells you, look at your past. Do you think you're ever going to amount to anything? History has defined you. Look at your resources. You haven't got enough. You failed. And we look at that and say, my circumstances or my situation. You see, the problem with a giant is looking to control you. My finances doesn't tell me, shh, you haven't got enough money. It shouts, you're poor, you will never make it, you haven't got the money. Health shouts at us. Hurt and rejection. I can still hear my dad's voice. My dad thought he's encouraging me when he says to me, you'll never amount to much. Your voorland is om strate te vee. I'm 65, and I still hear that, yeah. And when you stand up to face the giant, guess what you hear? There's a lot of shouting happening. There's a lot of shouting happening. And the problem is, slowly, if we're not careful, we begin to consult the giant before we consult God. We bow down, not physically, but internally. We bow down to the giant. When Goliath shouted, the army retreated into the tents, the Israelite army. And sometimes our tent is distraction or exhaustion, avoidance, surrender. We give up. It's just too much. We see David did something different. He did not stop at what he saw when he came and he saw Philistines, Israelites, en hulle hardloop na hulle tente toe. And my thinking was, I must get back to the to my sheep. These oaks are in trouble. I can't be part of this. Psalm 20, David writes, and he writes something, he says, that he knows, and he where he drew strength of. Verse 7, he says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord. That's a victory shout. That's a shout to say, I don't care what I'm seeing. I care about what God's saying. See, David didn't focus on the giant or what the giant said. In Samuel 1:17, David asks the other soldiers around him. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And I just want to unpack there because I think David is bigger than Makarda. So the first thing, uncircumcised means that you're not part of God's people in Israel in the Old Testament language. If you were circumcised, you're part of the Israelite people, part of God's people. And he's out there saying, hang on, this guy is not part of God's people. This giant is not part of who God sent to speak to me. And then the second thing, Philistines, you are oppressors. And then he asks the question, and he says, what right have you to speak to me to defy the armies of the living God? And my question is, David, can't you count? There's one army here, the Israelite army. What are the armies, plural, that you're talking about? And David realized something. He said, when the giant shouts, they're crying out for my attention. But David realized that Goliath didn't know what he was challenging. You see, when the Goliath challenges me, he's not just challenging Andre. Inside of me lives the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created the universe, the one who, when he sits on his throne in heaven, earth is his footstool. That giant, that God is the one that I bow down to. Not you, Goliath. You see, that changes everything. How I see, if I stop at seeing the giant, I'm going to fall short of the breakthrough. God's called us to see further. In the spiritual, we have the upper hand. But we need to look further in the natural to see that. In Romans 8:31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the question is, God can only be for me if I have submitted myself to Him. At 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, say, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You see, if I walk in the flesh, I see according to the natural. He said, though we walk in the flesh, in other words, we see in the natural, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, we do not war according to what I see. I cannot war according to what I see. Because if I war according to Goliath, he dictates the armor, he dictates the where, he dictates the when, and he dictates the how. But when I look further, it's when things change. It's when I take, verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. The war's here. It's not a physical war anymore. It's a year war. See, faith doesn't deny the giants. You can't say by faith there's no giants, because there are. But faith refuses to give the giants final authority. Just something about Esna and myself our personal life. For many years, Esna and I have faced financial challenges. Nothing because of our doing, it's just our life is. And when my heart is to do outreaches and go and visit like we do. And every time there's an opportunity, is I go to look and say, is there money? Has he helped me? So I can't go. And we turn around, we walk away. And then I realized one day, what I'm doing is I'm turning to the giant, the financial giant in my life, and say, giant, may I go, please? And I haven't realized that. And guess what the giant's going to say? No! You blame net, he saw. Why? Because the giant wants to control me. He wants to say what I can and can't do. He wants to rule my life. He wants to be the God of my life. And I'm not talking about being stupid with your finances. I'm talking about we wanting to be a blessing and couldn't go because we decided finance. How did I solve that? Started making a prayer point. Say, Lord, we'd love finance because we'd love to go. Today we're here. It's a testimony of God answering that. Is the giant still shouting? Of course he's shouting. But little by little, we're putting him down. Little by little, we overcome him. David overcame the giant in one shot because it was necessary then. For me, we have to war him down. And I staan nou op, my is a bit korter. And every time, is little, until I can put my foot on his neck and say, now you're dead. We're not there yet. You'll hear the testimony when that happens. But we're certainly on our way there. You see, the giant shouts, but doesn't get to decide. So how did David overcome? Firstly, he placed himself under the king's authority. He goes in verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17. He says, your servant will go. Put himself under the authority of the king. You and I can do nothing, not overcome one of our giants, if we try and do it in our strength. We have to put ourselves under the authority of the king. And then there are people that try and help you when you, as soon as they realize that you're now facing your giant, they try and help you. And the king comes and says, here's my army. Give me money, give me money, give me money. See how much is going to help me? Nothing. Your money is not going to help me anything. Because I have to face my giant. You're not helping me by killing my giant. I have to kill my giant. I have to overcome this thing. I have to overcome my dad's voice in my head. And please, I'm not putting my dad down. He thought he was doing a good thing, but I took it wrong. David didn't go into the war with Saul's army. He went into the war with that which God had given him, which God had trained him for. With a sling and a stick. And David was a short guy. Just put on that slide again for me, that last slide, if you don't mind. David was a short guy. He was the guy half the size of the giant. We've all seen when people fight, and the small oak fights the big oak, and he waves his finger under the oak's nose and says, I'll put you down. And the big oak stands laughing. And it's exactly what's happening there. David comes and this giant looks at him and he screams and shouts at him because I believe the giant is fearful. He's covered in metal and he looks at this little kid with a stick and he's got this huge sword. He's got this big shield. He's ready for this kid. He's trained for war since he was young, the giant. He knows how to kill. He's killed before. And he looks at David and says, what are you coming to do? And David's response to him, which is what I believe should be the mantra for all of us, says, you come against me, in verse 45, with a sword and a spear and a javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. That's our victory. That should be our victory song. That should be the song that overcome every giant in your life. And I felt really, as we prepared, that God said there are people sitting here today with giants, that are holding back with giants, that are shy, being one of your giants. When it comes in worship, it should be the you guys pushing the worship team instead of the worship team pulling the congregation. But we hold back because aksini sumuini. I haven't got the voice. This voice that I've got is the one God gave me, because God wouldn't want this voice in his ears in worship. So let's do the worship. Let's do what God's given us to do. You see, we're not called to chase giants. We're called to trust God. Sometimes overcoming a giant means to slay the giant. Sometimes it means to continue doing with what you're doing, praying. Prayer is that one tool that releases all the spiritual weapons. Why is it so difficult to pray? When you go down on your knees, he's in trouble. Your giant trembles when we pray. Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Interpret it this way: if we listen to our giants, we will never get to lay down our lives and follow Jesus, because we will stop at what we see. I want to challenge you this morning. How many of you have stopped at what you see? Because what God wants us to do is to look past the giant, past the noise, past the insult, past the limitation, and see the living God. Seeing that there's victory. There's two groups of people that I want to speak to in closing this morning. The first group is, maybe you've known about him. You even respect Jesus. But you're still running your own life. You might feel you're looking from the outside in. Lord, I'm not part of this, but I want to be part of this. See, Jesus did not die to be part of your life. He died to be Lord of your life. Matthew 16:24 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. That's total surrender. Your cross is the tool that you're going to be dying on. In other words, take up your death. Embrace your death. Put to death that old man, that old self. There's nothing valuable in me. I'm going to end up looking like that first light with a Corbina and so on. I was shocked the first day I saw an MRI scan of my head, and I actually had a skull that looks like everybody else's skull. It's like, nee, kan nie wil wees nie. But I must die to expose that, so that there's nothing left of me. To stop negotiating, stop consulting the giant, bow down to God. Let's, every eye closed, please.